C'est pas la peine de se dire tous ces je t'aime. On finit seul foutu, le cœur brisé quand même. Et l'amour, l'amour s'en fout, il s'en fout.
That's the Hot Sardines, Elizabeth Bougereau on vocals. Fontana sponsors the group's appearance tonight at Bell's Brewery. It is officially sold out, but the Hot Sardines are appearing in multiple places around the state. Kalamazoo, according to Ms. Elizabeth, is a first for this group.
I swear, my mom has been singing the song. When I was a little girl, she would sing the song, I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo, to me. So this is like, Kalamazoo is this mythical place for me.
Michigal.
Michigal. See what I did there?
I think you've given us a new town slogan.
Michigal. Oh, boy. It's too early. Yeah, so we're excited and we're so happy it's sold out. That's so incredibly kind.
Well, tell me a little more about this tour from the Hot Sardines.
Well, we have an eight-piece band. We have a tap dancer. We have brass. We have stride piano, bass, drums. I sing in English and in French. When Evan Palazzo on piano and I met a number of years ago through a jazz jam that was advertised on Craigslist, we bonded not just over our just geek out love for music from the 20s and 30s and 40s, which was, you know, the pop music of that time was jazz. But we bonded over kind of despairing over how hard it was to hear that music live nowadays. It's gotten easier, which is so exciting. There's more of this music now. But still, I feel like a lot of people have only ever experienced the American songbook or sort of popular song for the first half of the 21st century in recording. I feel like that's usually their only exposure to it for most people. It's a really different experience to hear this stuff live. It's such a warm, welcoming thing. When I heard this music live for the first time, it was like church to me. It was so incredibly filled with spirit and joy and love and just so much fun. And so that's what Evan and I try to bring to the show. That's why we started the band.
Give us a sense of the musical variety of that age. Can you name types of music that Hot Sardines covers or plays or has written?
Well, I mean, it's really that we're fishing in the pond that is stocked with everything from the very beginnings of jazz in the 1910s, 20s,
like cakewalks?
Right up to the beginnings. Cakewalk, sure, absolutely. The Charleston, but also, you know, dipping a toe into the sort of Bessie Smith, Mamie Smith bucket, which is, you know, sort of body blues, gut bucket blues, but also the beginnings of French popular song, too. And so much of what was happening as all that music was evolving was theater was influencing music and music was influencing theater in turn. So you also have a lot of the music that was made popular by Broadway. Cole Porter was composing for Broadway, for instance, and so many of his songs were then reprised by the greats, the jazz greats, everyone from, you know, Ella Fitzgerald to Frank Sinatra. And then it nudges right up to the beginnings, the earliest rhythm and blues. You know, you're talking about early Ray Charles, and all that goodness. So we're not purists. We don't stick to just, you know, hot jazz, capital H, capital J. We play the songs that for some reason grab us, and usually when they grab us, that's a good sign that we can do something fun with them that you know, really is authentic to how our band is. And there's really no official recipe, I would say. We grab from a lot of different pieces, a lot of different parts of the different eras that are all kind of nowadays encompassed in the first half of the 21st century.
Well, that's what sounds so fun about it, is that it was a teeming musical life at the time. There's recordings and sources finally from that we just get into recorded technology there and radio, and you can really deep dive into some of these sources if you want.
You really can. This is such an exciting time to be listening to this music, because you can, over the course of one YouTube rabbit hole session, you know, where you go deep and just kind of emerge, you can really hear, you know, the difference between when Bing Crosby was trying to project before recording technology and Bing Crosby as we know him, which is a much more hushed sound, which is only made possible by recording technology. Because before then, you had those sort of booming voices from the back of the room and megaphones and stuff like that. And then you hear how all that evolved and how the microphone was used as an instrument for vocalists. And that's just vocalists. You can also listen to, if you listen to Louis Armstrong's Hot Fives and Hot Sevens and hear, you can almost spatially hear where the different musicians are as they're being recorded spatially. Like, they had to have Louis leave the room and play halfway down the hall on some of those recordings because he was so loud, he would blow out the recording. So, and you know, nowadays you can mic everything right down digitally, right down to every string on a violin. So it's just fascinating to if you're a bit of a music geek, a bit of a music history geek, you can really dive into this stuff. But then ultimately it comes back to, you know, what are the emotions that these songs have? And that tends to be what makes a song survive for 100 years and makes new generations of artists want to tackle that same song again and again, like a Sweet Georgia Brown or like an All of Me. What is it in there? And it's really these universal emotions, you know, they never go out of style.
It is amazing how a lot of the sentiment is both tough and tender. I mean, they were going through a lot historically back then.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You get the full gamut.
That's such a good way to put it, tough and tender. I'm going to remember that. That's a great description. I think that's so true. I think there was, I think there are parallels. We're going through a difficult time historically now, and I think that one of the things that was so cool about that music in those days is that it brought people together, partly just logistically speaking, because at the very beginnings of this music, you had to go out to hear it. You know, you couldn't sit home with a recording. You had to go out. And usually if you went out, you would dress up and you would have a drink and so on and so forth. So it's a very connected experience. And I think that one of the reasons this music appeals today is we're supposed to be living in a time that's the most connected time in human history. But I think ultimately it's very disconnecting. All the opportunities to connect on social media and so on, ultimately those are sort of empty calories, you know? So what's neat is to be playing this music in a room. And if we're doing our job right up on stage and we're all connected on stage and making this music happen on stage, then we're connecting with you in the audience. And then people in the audience are connecting with each other, because it's kind of not, this is not music that you sort of listen to in your own little isolated relationship between you and the stage. I mean, it's this music is big or it's hushed, you know, as you said, tough and tender. And ultimately, it's very connecting. Ultimately, you know, people meet each other at the shows and people talk to each other at the shows. And it feels like a more connected experience. And I think that that's always been one of the appeals of this music.
Have you come as a singer come to terms with the sometimes challenge or power struggle between being a front person, the singer, and having a whole herd of players behind you who just want to jam out on tunes?
There hasn't really been anything to come to terms with for me. I got into singing this music because I wanted to, because when I went to hear this music, I just had this urge to be among all those people on stage. And I know that that's different. Different people have different reasons for wanting to sing. For me, it was, oh man, that they're having more fun than anyone in the room, and I want to be up there. So it's a different experience every night, and it's fun to explore with all these guys, you know, the nooks and crannies of these songs every time we play them. So yeah, it's been pretty great.
I'm glad to hear it.
Except for the odd occasion when, for instance, I'm standing too close to the drums, and then, you know, it just gets all up in your ears. But usually that's because I wanted to get closer to them. I just love having this music sound. It's kind of like going to see, you know, basketball or any sport. It just is a better experience if you're really close up in it.
Well, congratulations on a successful tour and a sold-out show coming up at Bell's. And thank you for talking to me today, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for doing what you guys do.